going to discuss in this shir Ona'as Devarim, which is harmful verbal speech. When can I say what I really think? As an introduction, Rabbi Nachum Amsel writes in a book, there are two unethical ways people often make themselves feel superior to others. They get others to look up to them, even though they do not deserve the attention or praise. Or these people say or do something to make others feel bad about themselves. Essentially, these are two sides of the same coin. What we're going to discuss today is one of these types of sins, i.e. making a person feel pain by intentionally saying or do something to that person. So, and I want to discuss four questions or four fact patterns or four issues that often come up in the context of this question of harmful speech. I want to discuss, number one, are practical jokes permitted? Can I give mussar to someone if he or she will be offended? If someone is speaking offensively towards me, can I speak offensively towards him or her in order to defend myself? And finally, must I be concerned about how I speak if the listener is overly sensitive? So regarding this is an introduction, the Torah in Parshas Bahar, in Perek Chof Hei, Psukim Yudal and Yudzayim, the Torah tells us twice, Al tonu ish es achiv, and velo sonu ish es amiso. Torah tells us, do not wrong another, do not oppress another. It has the word ona'a twice. And Rashi, in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Yudzayim, tells us that perhaps the first time the Torah is saying, do not oppress someone that has financial implications. But in Pasuk Yudzayin, the second time the Torah says, V'lo sonu ish es amiso, Rashi says, Kan he is here alonas devarim. The Torah warns against causing pain to someone through words, wounding someone's feelings. Now, examples of this, the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Perek Dal, Mishnah Yud, states that, Lo yomar lo b'kamach chifet zev hu eino rotza likach. You shouldn't pretend that you are going to purchase an item that you won't end up purchasing. The Mishnah also says, Lo yomar imay bal tshuva, lo yomar lo zechor masecha rishonim. If someone's about tshuva, you shouldn't tell someone, remind someone of his past, if that will make him feel bad. Imhu ben gerim, lo yomar lo zechor masei avosecha. If someone is the children of converts, and he shouldn't tell him about the deeds of his parents. Again, if this is something that will be offensive, based on the prohibition of ona'a. So, what about practical jokes? Is that a problem? So, there's a famous tshuva by the Chasam Sofer in Chelak He Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, and there, this is the Chasam Sofer lived in the 19th century. He was asked about the town Shochet. Now the Shochet's wife gave birth to a girl. Now this new father contacted the Mohel, and the Mohel obviously performs a bris milah on boys. And he told the individual, says, Shemachabdu b'mitzvas milas beno, that he honored him, that he had a baby boy, and he wants him to circumcise his son. So what happens? Again, was it a joke? Was it to cause him distress? So the tshuva states that this Mohel Rab Michal, his name was Rab Michal, he went Nasa Rab Michal Mahalach Arba Ashos Mikihilas Lekfarahu. He traveled 4 hours from his community to that village. Vine Shiker Bo Unekevi Yalada, and he discovered that the newborn was a girl, not a boy, and he was not going to be compensated for his time. So Rav Chasam Sofer was asked about the situation. The Chasam Sofer, he castigated the Shochet. He said that he violates the Risha of the Lav of Lotonu, of Ona'a. And he advises the community. He says, Pshita tshichom lavir me umanoso at shifai se shekenegdo b'chol ma'asheroi. That he advised the community to remove this new father from his community position as the shochet of kosher meat until he remedies the situation, until he asks for tshuva and remedies the situation. And the Mishpate, the Sefer Mishpate HaShalom writes, that you're not allowed to make prank phone calls. You're not allowed to perform other practical jokes that are likely to cause any degree of hassle or anguish. It seems to me that, you know, very often sometimes people play jokes on someone, they make a surprise for someone, and they make jokes, but they don't really, they surprise someone, but at the end of the day, it doesn't cause the other person distress. The person laughs it off. So obviously you have to judge every situation in its own merit, but it would seem that practical jokes were the one upon whom the victim really will feel bad about it and feel upset and not laugh it off. So that's where it's an issue. If someone plays jokes with someone and it's clear the person will say, you got me, but he will not be upset at the end. He won't cause him tsar. And it's not about making the other one feel bad. So it's not about making the other one feel less or unworthy. It's just a joke. So maybe that might not be what is counted under Onas Devarim. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. Rav Bleich, in his volume on Onas Devarim, in an article on Onas Devarim in the journal Hadarom, volume 35, writes essentially that the issue of Ona'ah is essentially to make the person feel like less than you. And so if someone plays a joke on someone and the goal is to make the other person feel like less than you, to cause him pain, that's certainly, even though it's only a joke, that's certainly forbidden. If it's just like a harmless joke, again, we have to define what harmless is, and the person who's the subject of the joke laughs it off, it's not really viewed as something serious, not sure if that itself is usur. But we have to be careful before we, you know, do a harmless joke on someone. We have to see, is this really harmless? Will the person be offended? And it's very important to think about that. Are you allowed to give musr to someone if it's going to be viewed as harmful? Very often when you give musr, a teacher to a student, maybe even a parent to a child, you're giving musr to someone else, you see someone doing something bad, the person's going to be upset. Is that a violation of Onas Devarim? So the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis states Ravashi, Amar Ravashi, Haiman Desani, Shomina Asharele Levazuye Begimel Vishin. Ravashi says one whose reputation is tarnished is permitted to humiliate him with Gimel, or it's Gimel Sin. So what does that mean? What's Gimel Sin? So Gimel Sin is, let's say, the Rashi explains that someone about whom he has, there are bad rumors about him, and you're allowed to say that he's a bar girta, zona, he's the son of a harlot, and shma Sarya, shem musrach, name is Sarya, it's like a disgusting name. So in other words, you're allowed to seem to humiliate someone who is a sinner. And the Gemara and Shabbos, the Mem and Aleph states, Amarava, Haiman Davar Adrabonon, Shur Lemikre Le Avaryana. Someone who violates the decree of the sages of Chazal, you're allowed to call him a transgressor. So, question, what does this mean, halacha l'maisa? So the Gemara, sorry, the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Onah, Simon Reish Chav Ches, Seif Aleph, so in that halacha, the Rama writes, V'yesh Orim, De'ein Mitzavin al Onas Devarim El L'Yirei Hashem. You're only commanded not to engage in Onas Devarim to those who are Yirei Hashem, God-fearing. Why is that? The Sma writes, because the Pasuk says, Lo sonu ishes amiso, that the prohibition of Onah is on amiso, am sheitchaba Torah mitzvah, someone who observes Torah mitzvahs with you. It's a big question why this is so. The Vilna Gaon explains it based on his commentary on this halacha. He says, this doesn't just mean that anyone who's not a God-fearing person, you can simply embarrass someone, humiliate them, verbally abuse them. He says, based on the two Gemaras in Megillah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, and Shabbos Mem Amud Aleph, that someone who has committed sins, if need be, you would be allowed to give him mussar in a way that might cause him distress if the goal is for him to do tshuva. Now, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Onan Geneva, Seif, Geneva Stas, Seif Lamed, writes, also explains the Ramah this way, but he says, first, obviously, when you give someone mussar, you should first do it privately and try to get him to repent privately. And if you're not successful, and you can only be effective by, you know, causing him some distress by being sharp with him and harsh with him, so then it would be permitted to do so based on this Ramah. And the Aruch HaShulchan also explains the Ramah this way. And he says, and he also explains that the Ramah writes, Umisha ma'ana es atzmo mutter lahonio. Someone who literally, I guess it means oppresses himself, then you can oppress him. It's a little strange. Why would you be allowed to oppress someone who oppresses himself? What does this mean? So the Aruch HaShulchan also explains this line in a similar manner, that says that someone who is a sinner, or someone who is quote-unquote oppressed himself, someone who's done bad for himself, that he's going on a bad path, he thinks he's going on the right path, then you're allowed to, you know, if need be, to cause him distress when you're to speak harshly towards him, assuming the goal is to move him and to get him to return to the right path. And but the intentions, of course, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, very important, that it has to be im kavanoso l'shamayim, that when you criticize someone and when you use sharp language, then your intent has to be for the right reasons. A Jew should never use this halacha as an excuse or a rationalization to badmouth an evil person whom he detests. And we also have to question the effectiveness of this as well. Again, I'm sure that many of us, sometimes who are educators or as parents, some or even as friends, sometimes we've found that sometimes we've taken a harsh stance against someone and spoken harshly against someone, we got our point across. And even though the person was not happy with what we said, maybe a few hours later, maybe a few days later, that person appreciated that we were insistent and sharp with them to get our point across, to be effective in getting the person to change. But as we also know, that very often when we speak in a very sharp tone, then it just turns other people off. Sometimes the people who want to be confrontational, who have a tendency to be confrontational and sharp, really are the ones who should not be confrontational. And the people who need to confront someone who's going down a bad path, they themselves are not so confrontational. They don't want to say something because they don't want to rock the boat. So the point of this position how the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Be'er HaGra explain the Ramah, perhaps based on the two Gemaras that we read, is that if necessary, if you really think it's going to be effective and you can't change and you believe that you're unsuccessful with sort of getting the person perhaps to back on the right path through speaking in a soft tone, then you might be allowed to engage in a harsher tone, even if it causes the person distress, if your intentions are pure and you honestly, sincerely believe, you make a reasonable assumption that it could change the person's path to go in the right direction. But we have to be very careful when we do that. The Rambam also writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet, Hilchos Dalet and Hey, that a Rebbe should not get angry on his students if they don't understand the material. You should review it many, many times. But he says, when do we say that? That's only when they don't understand it, because they have limited, perhaps, ability, intellectual ability, or the material is too difficult. But the Rambam writes, "Avalim nikar l'rav sheim yisrashlim b'divrei Torah macharfim aleihem." But if he sees that they're simply being lazy, then chayav lir goes aleihem. Then he is obligated to get angry, and then to shame them in order to, the Rambam says, in order to sharpen them. So, again, a Rebbe can be very harsh with his students if it can be effective. So, but again, the key takeaway is that it has to be effective. Not sure if that tack is appropriate or effective nowadays. It was known that Rav Soloveitchik in his early years as a Magid Shir was a terror in Shir. But generally, that's not the educational model that you find in most classes nowadays. So again, to give Musar, there could be a heter at times to speak harshly towards another person. But you really have to ask yourself, am I doing this with the right motivations? And do I really believe that it will be effective? Have I tried all other options? And is my belief that it will be effective a reasonable belief? What about retaliation? Are you allowed to retaliate if someone is offensive to you? Can you be offensive back to that person? So there's an interesting Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Amar Le Ahu Goza Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha." There was a Goza, a Saris, a eunuch, who said to Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha. See, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha was bald. He says, "Mehecha LeKorchina Kamahave." How far is it from here to Bald Town? He's making fun of him. Amar Le Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha said back to him, "Kamehecha LeGoznia." It's as far as it from here to Eunuch Town. He's making fun of him that he was a Saris, that he was a eunuch. So he retaliated. The Gemara in Yoma Daf Ayin Alpha and Beis tells the following story. There's a story of a Kohen Gadol who left the Beis Hamikdash. Vavu Azle Kule Alma Basrei, and everyone, a lot of people followed him. Came in the Chazyunu Yunhu Lishame. Sorry, the Chazyunu Lishamei Vavtalion. Once they saw Shmaya and Avtalion, the crowd, they left this Kohen Gadol, and they followed Shmaya and Avtalion. They followed Shmaya and Avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion were more popular. Lasov asu Shmaya and Avtalion leave to Rei Minei the Kohen Gadol. So apparently, at some point, Shmaya and Avtalion got together with the Kohen Gadol, and then they left the Kohen Gadol at some point. Amar Lahun, the Kohen Gadol said to Shmaya and Avtalion, Yesun Banai Amon Leshalom. May the children of non-Jews come in peace. In other words, he is mocking them because they descend from non-Jews. So Amr Le, they said back to him, Yesun b'nei Aman lishlam da avdin uvda da'aron. V'lo yesi bar Aron lishlam da lo avid uvda da'aron. Said back to him, let the children of non-Jews come in peace because they act the way Aaron HaKohen acts. But do not let the son of Aaron come in peace, because he doesn't act like Aaron did. In other words, Shmaya and Avtalion were criticizing this Kohen Gadol, that he is not acting like Aaron did. So, based on this, it seems we have examples of Gemara where individuals, rabbinic leaders, retaliated, and they were critical of someone who tried to criticize them. Now the Shulchan Aruch in that halacha Reish Chav Ches Ifaf already pointed out that the Rama writes Umisha Ma'anes Atzum Mutar Lahoniho, someone who oppresses himself, then you can oppress him. And we gave one explanation by the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Be'er Gola says the line of Misha Ma'anes Atzmo is a euphemism, and he says what it really means is if someone oppresses you, you can retaliate. Sma brings that as one explanation as well. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains why. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches says the following. He says, V'ulam lefi ha-doma, and it seems, Ein b'mashma shim ba Yisrael achad, v'hischil v'yershia letzar chaveiro b'dvar maroi, shelo yaneh shomea. Can't be that if a Jew comes and begins to be wicked to and pain his fellow with his bad words, she'iyav sharlios adam ke'evin she'in lohofchim, that the listener should not answer like he should be. Can't be that he should be simply be like a stone that cannot be overturned. Vod she'iyav ishtikaso kemodal cherufim. If someone curses me out that and I'm just silent, it's like I'm conceding. I'm saying your insults are correct. Uvemes lo tetzave haTorah lios adam ke'evin shosik lemercharfav kemol limavarachav. That it can't be that the Torah commands a person to be silent to those who curse him like he would be to those who bless him. Valtetzava also shenisrach min midah zos, but we should distance ourselves from this midah. For shelo naschil iskoteit v'lacharif bnei adam, and we should not quarrel and insult people. Uvachein inatzal mikolzeh, and if we ourselves that stay far away from this midah, and we don't criticize, we don't just criticize, quarrel, insult people. Then we'll be safe from this. If you're generally someone who doesn't get into fights, then people will not curse you out. Zulasi Hashotim Hagamor, except for complete fools. Vemla says Leva Hashotim. You don't have to worry about these, you know, fools. And then, but then there's the Sefer Achinuch says something else. He says it's true that you can respond. But he also says, Ve'im ulayach richenu mecharef mibnei adam lashiv al dvarav. And perhaps some insulted person will force him to answer his words. But still, roi lachacham sheyashiv lo derech silsul un imut v'lichas arbe. It's still fitting for a wise person to respond, reply to him in a roundabout and pleasant way. Kikas b'chek silim yanuach. Why? Because anger rests, he says, in the bosom of fools. V'natzal atzma la'shomim mecherufav v'yashlich ha'masa al ha'macharef zeh derech ha'tovim shebnei adam. And he will save himself before those who listen to his insult and will cast the burden upon those who insult him. He says that could be, sometimes the best way is to answer pleasantly. And he says that, yes, you can respond. You can respond to someone who attacks you in a sharp way, because you don't have to be a doormat, and you should be someone who can simply takes the abuse, because if someone does that to you and you're just silent, they'll do it again. Torah does not expect you to be a doormat, so you're allowed to respond. And he also says that there are, he concludes, and he says, though, that there are some people who perhaps are on a level who are hanelavim ve'enam olvim. They are humiliated, but they do not humiliate back. Shomim cherpasam ve'enam meshivim. They hear insult, do not reply. And he, and the Sefer Chinuch, highly praises this individual. In other words, the ideal, if you can, is to wipe away the hurt, to say it's not a big deal. Now, obviously, there are different levels. If someone is verbally abusing you, and you need to respond, or else he's going to continue doing that. And so sometimes it can be appropriate to respond in a sharp way. If we can simply ignore it, wipe away the hurt, and hopefully the person will stop, that might be a higher level. Of course, and obviously, even every individual has to have the self-esteem to stand up for himself. We need to also understand that there needs to be a line drawn between a comment that is reasonably categorized as insensitive versus an instance in which, let's say, me as the victim consciously or subconsciously seeks to take offense. In other words, sometimes I may make more of a big deal than it really is. And maybe I might think the person is very insensitive, but before I respond sharply, maybe I need to consider, was the person really intend what I thought he meant to intend? So it's also very important to keep in mind. So technically, you're allowed to respond, but we need to be cautious. We need to perhaps give the person the benefit of the doubt, think about the person's remark in the best possible way, and try to be someone who wipes away the hurt if possible. Interestingly enough, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Simon Tuf Tuf Mem, he talks about the question of nekama. Isn't there a prohibition? You're not allowed to take revenge on someone. So if someone speaks sharply to you, can you respond sharply to him? And he says that the davka atar mutar lahashiv osam azil zulim v'lo achar kach. He says, nekama is later on. And you didn't lend me this object, so I'm not going to lend you that object tomorrow. It's calculated. But on the spot, to respond to the person so he stops his criticism, so you're defending yourself, as it were, then that is permitted. But as I mentioned, the Rabbim Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, writes that Roy lo la'adam lios mavir amidosav akol divrei ha'olam shakol etzel hamivinim divrei hevel v'havai ve'enam kde linkom aleihem. The person should be someone who's mavir amidosav, he wipes away the hurt if possible. When you realize that most things that people get upset about are really foolish and silly, and it's not worth it to take revenge on them, to get back at them. So if you can, there is an out to stand up for yourself, but definitely make sure that what you heard is, it was really bad, and confirm and try to judge the other person favorably. But if indeed you need to stand up for yourself, you're allowed to stand up for yourself. Realize that sometimes, by the way, when you're sharp back, then the person might be sharp back to you, and sometimes you think that your response is going to end the matter, but it just exacerbates the situations. It's also important to keep in mind. But there is an outlet, and even halacha, to respond to respond, to protect your own self-worth, your own self-esteem, to defend yourself. But also keep in mind some of these values also about wiping away the hurt and trying to seek shalom. That should be always an overriding concern. What about overly sensitive people? So the truth is that sometimes you can make a remark and someone, what you thought was a totally innocent remark, and the person got upset about it. Do you violate onas devarim? Some people are more sensitive about certain things. Some people are less sensitive about certain things. So there's an interesting question in general as to what the nature of onah is. Is the isser of onah to cause distress to someone through your words or through other things? Sometimes even waking someone up who's sleeping could be a form of onas devarim to some postgame. But let's talk about verbally saying something, right? So is it only when you cause pain to someone? Is it when you cause pain to someone? Or does it require intent? See, Rashi in Vayikra Chaf Hei Yud Zayin, where he talks about onas devarim, Rashi says that v'im tomar miyodei miskavanti l'ra, who knows if I intended for bad? If I give someone advice and it turns to be bad advice, who knows if I intended to give someone bad advice? That's where the Torah says at the end of that pasuk that you should fear your God. Someone who knows in all cases that are like matters of conscience, so God knows. That anything where no one knows the truth except for the one who has the thought in his heart. So that's something, therefore it says you should fear Hashem. So you might think, you might claim, I didn't mean to cause the person harm. No, says Rashi. The pasuk says, Hashem knows what you're thinking. The implication though here is, according to Rashi, onas devarim is all about your intent. Is your intent for good or is your intent for evil? And many halachic authorities seem to indicate that the issue is kavana. For example, there's a prohibition of giving nicknames, which is a topic unto itself. There in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Chav Ches Saif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch very clearly says you should be careful not to give a bad nickname to your friend. Im kavanoso levaisho, also, if your intent is to embarrass him. So it's about intent. Sefer HaChinuch, to be fair, just says that the prohibition of Ona'a is Shelo Nomar L'Yisrael Devarim Shiach Ivuhu V'Yitza'aruhu V'Makoch Le'azer Behem. So he says that the prohibition of Onas Devarim is saying words that will cause the person pain. It seems, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Even if you don't intend to cause the person pain, if you cause the person pain, then that would be forbidden. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, Rab Leich proves from a number of examples that in many different sources, like Rashi we saw in the Chiddush HaGadol of the Maharal, and other sources that the essence of onas devarim is not about pain or embarrassment that the victim suffers. It is what he calls shayidei diburo hu maresh eno machshiv u marech es chavero. That through my speech I demonstrate I don't value the other person. El shu shafel v'nivza beina. But rather I make it seem that he is lowly and embarrassed in my eyes. And so according to Rab Leich, according to this line of reasoning, and it seems if you look through many of the halakhic authorities, it seems that many of them, the majority, at least from my review, seem to take the view that it's about intent. So if there is someone who's overly sensitive, and I didn't intend to say anything bad, and this person is overly sensitive, so it's not, I didn't intend to do anything bad, so I would not violate onas devarim. At the same time, there are some halakh authorities that interpret onas devarim as even causing pain, even without intent. And maybe it's not intentional, but we should still be careful even for unintentionally causing pain to the other person. The Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Eben HaEzer, Chelek Beis, Simon Aleph, He was asked about a situation where in a family with two brothers, the younger brother found the prospective wife before the older brother. So this situation caused psychological pain and embarrassment to the older brother. Again, this is ona'a that was unintentional. So he was asked whether the couple should delay the marriage. So Moshe Feinstein said no. In any case, the father of the bride didn't want to delay it. Moshe Feinstein rules that it's not, he says the following, he gave a lot of reasons why you shouldn't, but one of the points he makes, which is relevant to our discussion, is that since many chassanim get married later due to many reasons, including learning Torah, any embarrassment was misplaced. So he thought there's no onas devarim because it was unreasonable. It's unreasonable, sensitivity. Rav Lichtenstein, in his book Leaves of Faith, The World of Learning, Volume 2, page 109, he writes the following: recent declines in toleration among politically correct circles in America are perturbing, not only because of the erosion of traditions of civility per se, but because of the heavy-handedness which has accompanied them. In other words, he's saying that we are becoming less tolerant. So on the one hand, we need to be sensitive to other people, but we also need to be more tolerant of others' behavior and get offended by less. So if onas devarim is only forbidden with intent, then if it's unintentional, then in the other person simply being overly sensitive, then there's no isser. If we say that that onas devarim is about causing pain to someone, then again, if someone is being if someone's sensitivity is misplaced, is unreasonable, then we probably don't violate an astavarim. And I just quote one more halacha. As I mentioned, there are two categories of an astavarim broadly. One is where you try to put someone else down, and the second is when you make yourself feel good unjustly, like you deceive someone to make him think that you did something wonderful for someone when in fact you didn't do that. So in this context, the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Reish Chav Ches, Se'iv Vav, says that if someone tricks himself, let's say Shimon commended Reuven for making a journey to honor him, and Reuven did not do that. Like, I'm walking on the street and someone comes to me and says, "Wow, you made all the trip to see me." And that was an unreasonable assumption. So what's the halacha? He tricked himself. I don't have to correct his error, even though by doing this, he's thinking that I'm such a wonderful person that I went to visit him, when in fact I did. If it's unreasonable, then I do not have to correct that. And this might also be the meaning of the Ramah, which says if the person, quote-unquote, is ma'ana himself, and if he, quote-unquote, deceives himself, if he is unreasonable, if he's unreasonable in his sensitivity, then it's not forbidden. In practice, we should try to be sensitive to the feelings of others. If we engage in practical jokes, we should be very careful before we do that and make sure that it really is harmless, that they really are harmless. And we should give the benefit of the doubt to someone who may have said something that could be construed as sensitive. And we have an out to give mussar, to retaliate, but we should try to be as sensitive as possible and give the other person the benefit of the doubt as much as possible.